I be playing. Hello and welcome to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. It's the third Saturday in October, and that can only mean it's time for the Crimson Tide and the Vols to battle again in one of the nation's great college football rivalries. Although, frankly, it's been a pretty lopsided rivalry these past few years. But today's special because it's the 100th time these two teams have met, and we'll talk about that here in just a while. But first, I'm Mark Mayfield with UA's Office of Student Media, and with me are my infamous co-hosts, Dr. Adam Sterrett, Assistant Vice President for Student Life, and Andrew Deere, Coordinator of Facility Operations for University Recreation. We've also got a great guest on the show today, Tommy Ford, Associate Athletics Director, who works with the Crimson Tide Foundation and oversees the A-Club and Red Elephant Club, and is well-known to many Bama fans really across the country. We'll talk about Bama and Tennessee history with Tommy and get his college football picks here in just a few minutes. But first, Adam and Andrew, it looks like football weather, good weather in Tuscaloosa, right?
It's a beautiful Saturday for football here in Tuscaloosa. What do you think, Andrew?
Yeah, we've got that first when you wake up in the morning, it's that first little crisp
in there.
Of fall, and it's taken up until this week. Obviously one of our favorite weeks of the year every single season.
Looks like it'll be about 80 and sunny by kickoff,
yeah, it's
somewhere
gonna be
in
great,
there.
Man.
It'll be a little chilly by the time the second half comes off walk back home with cigars, and it should be a lovely, lovely evening here.
That's absolutely.
Right. You guys got your cigars ready?
I don't.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that this year.
I do. I got to when I get back home from the guests.
You got to do that.
At least put it in your mouth.
Yeah, at least have it. Right.
I'm open for good cigar suggestions that are cheap and delicious. At AK Deer, tweet me. DM me. I'm ready for open cigar suggestions.
There we go. Are Cuban cigars legal now with our new state diplomacy? I don't have any anyway, so, you know.
I likely won't even light it. You're right. I'm just going to hold it. But that's why you buy the cheap ones.
Right.
Yeah.
We're excited. The first kind of week of fall that we've had in town. And like you said, it's a great rivalry. Doesn't feel like that possibly this year, but I normally say in one of these situations that in a rivalry game, it doesn't matter the record. In a true rivalry, the worst team sometimes can win. But it would be hard. It would be hard for me to say that with a straight face this year because Tennessee seems really discombobulated as a program and seem to have some issues. But you know, if that's the week that we take off for some reason and play down to our opponent. 2 years ago, they weren't in great shape either, and they came in here, and it took a couple of minor miracles for us. It took a Heisman Trophy winner and a blocked little kick,
I think,
for us to win that game, and
that's
we were
exactly
a heck
right.
of a team that season. So
we were.
Certainly take nothing for granted, but just couldn't be a more glorious weekend here in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, it's like you said, you know, rivalry games, you never know what's going to happen. But truly, if you've watched this Tennessee team play, they are outmatched.
Issues.
They're poorly coached. They're outmatched. They're just not a good football team right now. The players aren't playing for each other. They're not playing for the coaches. And that's when you can really tell that a team is not going to come in here and do well against an Alabama team that is the clear-cut number one team in the nation. You know, and even if Tennessee was playing hard and they were well coached, they'd probably still have to play a perfect game to come in here.
I agree. I expect them to. We'll get into this later, but I expect them to put up a fight in the beginning. Mm-hmm. They got pride. They're gonna come out and try to play their best game. You know, but they don't have it this year. They don't have it. They don't have the kind of playmakers that are going to test Alabama. They don't match up well. You know, they're like – I looked this up. They're like the number 122nd rushing defense in America, and they're going up against one of the best rushing offenses in the country.
Yep.
And unless you can stop Bama's run, you're not going to, you know, and force Jalen Hurts to pass, although I think he'll beat you doing it. But
that's the trick this year, yeah.
But they don't even have that. Now, some of those statistics for them are skewed because they played Georgia Tech right in the first game, a big rushing. I think Tech got 400-something rushing yards on them, but even though Tennessee
actually
won that game.
A bit of an aberration.
Right.
But they have not been very good, and they're just mired in this mediocrity.
And football, when it comes down to it, it's pretty simple. You got to run the ball and you got to stop the run. And Tennessee can't do, you know, John Kelly's had a decent season, but really Tennessee can't do either of those things.
And Coach Saban would like nothing more than just to run the ball up the middle all day long, right?
And so
it's not like former years where we would be yelling at him to run the ball with Kiffin around, but He would. Yeah. I mean, if he could run the ball 70 times with four different backs to win the game, he'd do that and have Jalen throw two balls behind the line. So he's perfectly happy doing that, and that seems like it'll be the recipe for an easy kind
of. That may be what they do today.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they why bother? Or just, you know, just and the other thing that does is Saban doesn't want. You know, he doesn't want to blow them out like just 66-3 like he did Ole Miss. I mean, that was a that was just how that game went. But he's not looking to do that. Mm-hmm. He'd rather just beat this team dominantly and then
get out of there without some injuries.
Get out of there and run clock.
Yep.
Get it done.
Yep. A couple other great games this weekend, I think, when we start looking at Big Ten and Pac-12 and whatever weird Notre Dame is, pseudo-ACC. But Michigan and Penn State tonight, LSU and Ole Miss tonight, USC-Notre Dame tonight. That's got a little bit of extra flavor this year because all those teams are in contention. And I think we'll start to learn a lot more about – to Andrew's point, which I think is great, is that there's a clear number one this season and there's a big gap.
Right.
And certainly that gap was very evident last weekend as three or four of the teams in the top 10 fell. But we'll learn a lot more about some of those other teams in the top 10 to 15 tonight at Penn State in a whiteout for Michigan, at Notre Dame for USC, which is such a traditional rivalry, LSU and Ole Miss, the new LSU that apparently is a decent team.
2 weeks ago, they were dead in the water, though.
LS knew.
Right.
So, yeah, who knows what they really are from a week-to-week basis. And so there's some exciting games later this evening that will be nice for us that are kind of cruising home after this game.
Right.
To chomp on that cigar and watch some of those games from up north and out west. So
I know.
Big day.
I think this will be one of those days where it'll be a really enjoyable college football Saturday
Absolutely.
For us to be able to – after the Bama game, go watch some other football.
Absolutely. It's all...
We'll see how it works.
But
right now, got to feel confident about it.
Do.
Okay, look, let's take a short break here, and we're going to be right back with a great special guest, Tommy Ford. So stay with us. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Sarah Patterson, and you're listening to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. It's great to have Tommy Ford in the studio with us this morning. Tommy is Associate Athletics Director here at UA and has written several books on the Crimson Tide, including most recently the book Crimson Mission about Bama's 2015 National Championship run. And he also has a new edition of his Alabama All-Access Football Vault book coming out soon. Tommy, it's great to have you on the show with us today.
Thank you, Mark. Great to be here.
Yeah, it's great. Look, it's third Saturday in October. You know, it's Bama, Tennessee. It's, I know from your books, you do a lot here at UA, but you're also sort of – I look at you as a Bama historian as well because a lot of this you've put into books over the years. So what do you think about this?
Well, it's a rivalry full of color and tradition and great players, great coaches, great games. And for us old guys like me and you, our favorite rivalry. This is the 100th game of the rivalry. The first one was in 1901. Alabama leads the series, 53 wins, 38 losses, 8 ties. The teams played just every once in a while until the 28th season, at which time the series became a permanent fixture on each team's schedule. And then beginning in 1932, all of our home games against Tennessee began being played at Birmingham's Legion Field.
Right.
Until 1999, and you remember – that one when the Vols came back to Tuscaloosa for the first time in a long time. Specifically, we're 22-14-6 in Birmingham, 24-20-1 in Knoxville, and 8-4 in Tuscaloosa now. Playing this game on the third Saturday in October actually started in 1928, but it wasn't officially given that name until 1939. I don't know if they just looked at the calendar and said, hey, we've been playing this on the third Saturday in October. Let's call it that.
Yeah,
But it's known for the famous cigar tradition started in the 50s by our longtime athletic trainer, Jim Goosetree. The thought and the reasoning behind it is that if cigarettes are for teenage boys, then cigars are for men.
Oh, really? Is that?
And when you beat Tennessee, you become a man.
There we go.
That's
okay.
Awesome.
So.
All right.
And this is a strange series at times, known for its streaks, the most notable being Alabama having an 11-game winning streak from 71 to 81. And that was, And then in 82, Tennessee won, breaking that streak. That was Coach Bryant's last season. Ended in Knoxville while the World's Fair was going on, if you remember that.
Yep.
They hauled the goalposts off into the World's Fair.
They still have that tower there, that World's Fair
tower.
Then in Alabama, had a 9-game unbeaten streak from 86 to 94, including a tie in 93. Tennessee had a 7-game winning streak from 95 to 01. Which started with Peyton Manning's leading the Tennessee band in Rocky Top after the game at Legion Field, and then broken in 2002 by a Tyler Watts-led offense under Dennis Franchione. And then, of course, we're in the midst of a 10-game winning streak by the Tide starting in 07.
Right, right.
It's a great rivalry.
Yeah, it is a great rivalry. I mean, it's I remember – those years when it really was competitive. But like you said, it's also been a series of streaks where Bama had that streak when Coach Bryant was here, and then they have it now with Coach Saban, and Tennessee had their own streak with Fulmer there for a while. Yeah, so Fulmer's not a very popular guy in these parts. Andrew, I know you bleed a little orange. But,
I do. I didn't tell Tommy off air that my parents are from the Knoxville area. Yeah. My grandfather had season tickets for 40 years there, and I grew up going to games in the midst of the Peyton Manning era. Yeah. But I do. It's always one of my favorite games of the year. Even if Tennessee is outmatched, it's always exciting to go watch the game. My uncle used to come down here every year and watch the Tide beat up on the Vols. But yeah, whichever team you root for, it's really exciting. Yeah. And ultimately, I do want Alabama to win this year. So I need to put that on the record.
You're going loyalty here with your school now.
Absolutely,
that's a good way to keep the paycheck rolling. You
know? Right,
Tommy. You know, you knew Coach Bryant. You know, how did he feel about this game?
Well, he loved this rivalry because he and Coach Nalen were such competitors. For many, many years prior to that. And if you remember, even before Coach Bryant got to Alabama, all his days at Kentucky made the rivalry with Tennessee even more intense. So to him, this was a bigger game than Auburn. And he has said that many times because, as you know, we did not play Auburn for 41 years.
Yeah.
And so, all that time, Tennessee, we were playing, and they were becoming our biggest rival.
Right.
So it was a very meaningful game to Coach Bryant.
Yeah, this is the 100th time today, you know, with Tennessee. I mean, and we don't have that many games with Auburn because of that long –
Right.
Where the state legislature, right, had to come in and force the two teams to play each other again.
Yeah, that was the 48 – 1948 was the revival game.
Yeah. What do you remember just in your personal – you've been to a lot of these Bama-Tennessee games over the years. What do you remember? What stands out to you just personally?
Well, there are several that stand out. One, I wasn't there, but the 65 game is talked about today like it was – you know, happened last week. We had a 50-year reunion of that 65 team 2 years ago, and they were still talking about it. And, of course, winning the national championship that year helped soothe the wounds, but – the game ended in a 7-7 tie, but we could have easily kicked a field goal in the last minute to win the game.
Right.
Kenny Stabler was thinking that he had gotten a first down on the previous play. And so on fourth down, him thinking it's first down, he threw the ball out of bounds, which turned it over to Tennessee. They ran out the clock. And so it ended in a 7-7 tie. And that's the game where Coach Bryant was so mad he walked off the field. A door to the locker room was locked, padlocked. The manager had not had time to get there and unlock it, and he literally knocked the door down.
Whoa.
And
would not want to be in that locker room.
Yeah,
after the game.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Whoa. And then the next year in Knoxville, we fought back from a 10-0 deficit to go ahead 11-10 with about 3 minutes to left, and Tennessee drove down and missed a 19-yard field goal in the last few seconds. And that was the 66 year where we were undefeated and SEC champs, but did not win the national championship. The 72 game, we were down 10-3 in the final 3 minutes, scored two touchdowns to win, 17-10. We all remember the 73 game in Birmingham. We're a powerful wishbone offense, and on the first play, Gary Rutledge throws an 80-yard strike to Wayne Wheeler.
Yeah,
for a TD, and the game was tied 21-21 going to the fourth quarter, and then we exploded for three touchdowns to win 42-21. The 86 game was when we had a good offense, good running back with Bobby Humphrey. One of my favorite of all time. Interesting story about that. While in film study for the game, sophomore quarterback David Smith, who would later become our starter, spotted a weakness in Tennessee's safety play, and all the coaches and quarterbacks got together, and that's the game we used the famous toss 28 sweep over and over and over again. They couldn't stop it. We scored on six of our first seven possessions.
Wow.
And Bobby Humphrey ran for 217 yards. We led 42-14 at the half and won 56-28. And here's what's interesting. We only threw six passes.
Is incredible.
Mike Shula was quarterback.
56 that points is, and six passes.
Especially with the games evolved into today, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, it is.
And then in 1990, and this is the one still talked about, Lee Corso and all the ESPN guys said it was men against boys. When we were going up to Knoxville, you know, that's the year Coach Stallings started out 0-3.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we were really struggling. We, you know, had a good defense, but just had not been able to generate a lot of offense. And, well, those boys blocked a Tennessee field goal with about a minute and a half left, and we ran three plays, and Philip Doyle kicked a 48-yard field goal, and we won 9-6, and that may be the biggest upset in series history.
Wow.
You know, the 2003 just broke my heart. We lost a 5 overtime shootout, 51-43 here. Bryant Denny, Tennessee has not won since. And 05 was the kind of like the 90 game defensive struggle, tied 3-3 with about 5 minutes to go. Tennessee appeared to be going in for the winning score. I mean, the guy's on like the 2-yard line ready to score, and Roman Harper comes up behind him. Knocks the ball out.
Was it out of the end zone? Yeah. I remember that one very well.
Back of the end zone. We get the ball back on the 20, and then Brody Croyle led the Tide down in the field, and Jamie Money Christensen kicked the winning field goal with 13 seconds remaining. And that, at the time, preserved our undefeated season at the time. And then, of course, 09, we talked about it prior to going on the air with Terrence Cody blocked – 2 field goals in the game, including the potential game-winning field goal. It would have been no good anyway, but we all know that. Yep. Anyway, to preserve the 12-10 win, to preserve the Tide's undefeated season, and then, of course, we went on to win the national championship.
Right.
In 09, and then, you know, 2 years ago, it took a clutch performance by the Alabama offense on the last drive. You know, Jake Coker threw 2 passes, clutch receptions by Calvin Ridley and Ardarius Stewart to keep the drives alive, and Derrick Henry finally scored the game winner to win 19-14. And of course, Ryan Anderson had the sack of Tennessee quarterback there at the end to seal it. But it's been a great rivalry, and many people have their favorite games, but those are mine.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that 2 years ago, that was tense, having to make that drive at the end to win that game, and Bama was favored by quite a bit, I think.
Yeah.
But Tennessee, you know, they can come up and make this thing close like they did in 09, like they did 2015.
Right.
You know, may not be that way today.
I think that's one of the more interesting things. You said 1990, the men against boys game, Alabama was supposedly outmatched, but they ended up winning it. Tennessee in 2015, you know, the couple touchdown favorite Alabama was, and Tennessee ended up coming up here and giving them a really good game. So it's just one of those games that, you know, is always, or for the most part, is going to be a good game. Last year wasn't so much. We're not expecting it to this year, but, you know, for the fans' sake that don't, I guess, are outside of these two teams, I guess people are excited to hopefully see a good football game.
Right, if you're watching it and you're not, you don't.
Alabama fans hope it's not a good football game. They're hoping they absolutely destroy them. But it the third Saturday in October is always a really, really, really fun time of year.
I just think back about Coach Bryant and how much that game, Tommy mentioned this, that it was, he thought, it, you know, it was a bigger rivalry than Auburn. And I think back to that, and I think growing up in that era, it means a lot, you know, to people my age and Tommy's age who come through and who grew up when this thing was really competitive. You know, it's not that competitive now. It's not to say Tennessee couldn't pull an upset, but it's, well, I don't think they can even begin to pull an upset today, but we'll get into that in a minute. But the But I, it does mean a lot, and it, you know, Tommy, you remember the quotes from Steve Kiner, you know, way back then about when Tennessee had won, and he had those comments about what Bama had. He said Bama had across the line from him looked like they had lost pride in that crimson jersey or something, mm-hmm. wasn't it? Something like that. Yeah. So those words hurt, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's been a great rivalry, and even though we are dominating the series at this time, it still gets the blood flowing.
Oh yeah,
even to the younger generation, because they don't remember all those old games that we talked about. But my goodness, and of course the guy from 10 years ago that was interviewed in front of Ferguson Center.
Yeah.
The video is still showed on, video. Still being shared on Facebook
viral.
Every year.
It has gone viral, and I'd love for y'all to do a story on that guy. He's somewhere around here, I'm sure.
We got to update him.
Have to.
But like the Crimson Whites cover headline on Thursday was, man, I hate Tennessee. So you're right. The young people still get that. They get it. They get this rivalry.
And it makes it so much fun.
Yeah.
It really does.
And it's obviously shared by the Tennessee folks.
Absolutely.
You know, as we keep talking about, I troll VolNation.com, and it's like a dumpster fire on there right now with Butch Jones. And they're all predicting even worse score than we are, I think, in the game. But it means a lot to them, and that's what really kills them is that they're not competitive.
Right.
And they know what a big rivalry it is, and that really gets them. I don't think it would matter if it was – like Oregon beat Tennessee pretty bad a few years ago. It didn't really matter as much as getting beat bad by Bama does.
Absolutely.
So, hey, look, you know, Tommy, we're going to take a short break, but Tommy's going to hang around here, and we've got 10 fearless picks for him to choose from. So we'll be right back with those picks. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum. My favorite station in the world, 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. We've been talking to Tommy Ford with the Crimson Tide Foundation and UAS Athletic Department. Let's see who he thinks is going to win some of the major games today. Let's start with a game out in Austin, Oklahoma State at Texas. Tommy, what are your thoughts on this game, and ultimately, who are you going to pick to win this game?
Well, Texas has really struggled this year. Tom Herman's honeymoon was quickly over after the first game when Maryland beat them and they allowed so many points. Oklahoma State, you know, is 5-1. Their only loss is to a very good TCU team. They score tons of points. I'm going to go with the Cowboys going into Austin and beating the Longhorns.
Yeah, Oklahoma State, pretty strong this year.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, staying with the 11 a.m. games, we have the Louisville Cardinals at the Florida State Seminoles, a little ACC matchup. What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, it's hard to believe after, five or six games that these teams have so many losses between them, because they were both obviously preseason very high. We had the Heisman Trophy winner coming from Louisville. I just think Florida State is going to find a way to win this game. I think all the distractions at Louisville over the last few weeks, with the AD's resignation this week and a variety of other things, is going to hurt the football team. I think Florida State's defense is good enough to stop Louisville. And despite the disappointing seasons for both teams, I think Florida State will win.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Not the seasons we were expecting for those two teams. And I feel like either of those teams can be beaten at any time, like you said. So pretty tough game to predict. Let's go UCF at Navy at 2:30. What do you think there?
Well, I would love Navy to win. I'd love them to win every game. I've been on their campus a couple of times, and I love just visiting the Naval Academy and all the tradition, and I like watching them play. But I just think Central Florida's offense is just going to be too much for Navy. UCF is putting up a lot of points this year. And I just think UCF will win this one at least by a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah, Scott Frost is one of those guys people are talking about for when major job openings come up. His name's getting thrown around.
Yeah,
what he's done. UCF's
a great
good
team this year.
Absolutely.
Although Navy's good too, but that's going to be hard to stop UCF.
Gotcha. Staying with the 2:30 slot, we have Arizona State at Utah. Give us your pick for that one.
Yeah, you know, Utah played Southern Cal and Stanford very close. I think they lost by a total of 4 points between the two. And although Arizona State is coming off a big win against Washington, I'm going to go with the home team Utes on this one.
The Utes.
There you go.
Hey, one in the SEC here at 3 p.m., which I think is a tough pick, Kentucky at Mississippi State. Who you got?
Yeah, I think Kentucky's probably a little better team, but I'll go with Mississippi State being in Starkville. They've got a good team this year, and those cowbells will be going strong.
Oh, yeah.
I just think
Kentucky's not used to that, are they?
Yeah, they're not, and I think Mississippi State will win this one being at home.
All right. Another big SEC matchup this evening, it used to be big, LSU at Ole Miss.
Yeah, it used to be yeah. Halloween weekend.
Right.
It's a little bit earlier this year. Despite Ole Miss finding their offense last week against Vandy, scoring more than 50 points, LSU has also found its defense. And obviously the way they played against Auburn, especially in the second half, I think will give LSU the momentum to go into Oxford and beat Ole Miss.
All right. Big game in the Big Ten with the Khaki King, Harbaugh's Michigan.
That's right.
And going up against undefeated Penn State. Who you got?
I love Penn State, both in this game and just as a school and a program. Gosh, we had a 10-year home-and-home with them back in the 80s. I went to four of those five games, plus I went to the one in 2011, and just love Penn State, and I'm picking the Nittany Lions in that one.
All right. Traditional big game, USC at Notre Dame. This has sort of I read something. This is kind of an elimination game for the playoffs because whoever loses is completely out. They may both be out anyway, but certainly the loser is out.
Yeah, Notre Dame is a quiet 5-1 now, and their only loss is to number three ranked Georgia by one point.
Right. Played them really close.
So.
Yep.
As much as I hate to say it, I think Notre Dame's going to win.
Yeah. That's right. That's the old thing of growing up. I'm from Bama, and anybody that plays Notre Dame.
Yeah.
All right. Auburn at Arkansas, the Gus Bus going into Fayetteville, I guess, right?
Yeah. So. Auburn has bounced back from disappointing games this season pretty strongly. After the Florida State game, I think they played Mercer and played really bad and then bounced back with three really good games. I'm going to go with Auburn. Arkansas is just too beat up and just not as talented as Auburn. So
all right.
I'm going to go with Auburn.
All right. Well, we got the big game here this afternoon at Bryant-Denny. Big rivalry. We talked about in the other segment, but the campus is buzzing about this. The Vols coming in here to play the Tide. How do you think it's going to go?
Well, obviously, I think Alabama will win. I'm not sure about any kind of point spread. I think this is the biggest point spread in the series history. I've never even fathomed that we could have a 30-plus point spread for an Alabama-Tennessee game, especially with the historical meaning of this game and the rivalry. I think it'll be respectable. I think it'll be like 35-6, 38-6, something like that. I'll give them a couple of field goals, but just in my personal opinion, is this will be a good time to fine tune our offense and get some of those younger guys some playing time, and it could be another Ole Miss Vandy type game, where we score 50 or 60 points, but I don't think so. I think Coach Saban has a lot of respect for Tennessee and their program, and he'd rather us win comfortably and then let those younger guys play.
Yeah. It'll be hopefully Bama will have time to get the younger guys playing again like they have in those other games. But yeah, you're right. It may be less, the point spread is so high. It's I don't gamble, but if I did, I wouldn't take that bet because that's a high point spread in a rivalry game, even though Tennessee struggled.
As we talked about 2 years ago, we're thinking the same thing.
It's going to be
a rout.
Right.
And we come in, and they go ahead with 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And we have to win it on a last, through 3-minute drive with two clutch plays. And
yeah.
So who knows? Yeah, we'll see.
And Tennessee's got the they've got the redshirt freshman starting his second game. Who really knows what to expect from him? There's not a lot of film on him, so you know you never know what could happen. But yeah. Alabama definitely. Yeah. I think we can all agree we'll be smoking cigars at the end of this one.
Yeah. I like our chances.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, hey, we got just a couple minutes left here in the segment. I wanted to talk to you about, you know, that reunion with the 92 football team. Tommy coordinates that. And you had Dabo Swinney in here. You had Coach Stallings. You had that was – I think of all the reunion. I know you've done a lot of these, of course, but that one just meant a lot to a lot of people.
It did. You know? That team, you know, was the 92 team being sort of the gap championship between the great championships of the Bryan era and the Saban era. So – if you think about it, that championship means so much to our younger generation now. The people in their 40s remember where they were 25 years ago, or in their late 30s when they were little kids, you know, when they were 6 or 8 and watching it. And that 92 team and Coach Stallings and his powerful presence. But having those guys come back was so great. And, of course, 2 weeks before the game, I didn't think there would be any way Coach Stallings could make it back here after his heart attack. And then – 8 days before that game, he literally is checked out of the hospital on a Friday morning and flown to College Station, was honored there for the 50th anniversary of their 67 team, and then goes back to Paris to rest some more, and then he tells us, hey, I'm coming. So he came into here on Thursday, stayed through Saturday night, did not stay for the game, left right after the pregame intros, but we had more than 106 people, staff, coaches, players, trainers, managers, come back for that reunion.
Wow.
Including Dabo and 5 of his guys who are on his staff who are all part of that 92 team.
That's
they
amazing.
Flew in and out. So all the logistics was quite challenging, but we had I had a great team helping us, and it was so good to see. It was Coach Stallings' plane and Dabo's plane left within 5 minutes of each other, one going east to Clemson, one going west to – Paris, but it was a great time for that 92 team, and just to see the smiles on their faces made it worth it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, that's great. That was really special. And, yeah, I was at that 92 game thanks to Tommy Ford, who I know got me tickets at the time. But
there you go.
I don't think there was Todd Pride then, but well there may there was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
But I remember that was a stunningly great win for Alabama. Yeah. And but you're right, you make a good point. I think the young people today do remember that, or do value that. They're intelligent football fans. Even at this young age, they're kind of indoctrinated in that immediately. Like, they get it. They really and that meant a whole lot. And and I remember, Tommy, some of the players we interviewed in that book from after the 2012 national championship talked about the ones who I think they'd been here for the 5th year guys or something, had been here for that first national title, and said they kept hearing about the 1992 title, and they thought it was about time to bring another one home.
Yeah, you know? And Gino Toretta had won the Heisman, and there was all this hype about them, how they were bad, they were going to beat us, and you know, like Coach Stallings said, guys, you know, we've got a pretty good team. And then obviously between Brother Oliver and Coach Stallings, they crafted that great defense that just shut him down. And then Teague had probably the greatest non-play in Alabama football history when he ran down Lamar Thomas. And George was one of our honorary captains last week, and he said he and Lamar Thomas still talk.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
That's
and, of course, George, another non-play that made him famous was when he tackled Terrell Owens on the star at the Cowboys game.
Oh yeah.
You know, so
absolutely,
George Teague is best known for 2 plays that never were plays.
right.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, Tommy, look, thanks for joining us today, and we'll see how you do with these picks. We're gonna hang around here and make some also, but look, thanks. It's a real pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you. And, great to be here.
And
good to see you.
Yeah, and we look forward to the game this afternoon. So, hey, look, we're gonna take a short break, and we'll be right back with some other fearless picks here. So, join us for that. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. All right, Before we start our infamous fearless picks for this week's, I don't think we should look back, but Mark Mayfield thinks we should look back on next week, last week. Interestingly enough, this is the first week we've really spent time going backwards.
Yeah.
With Mark,
happened to be in the league.
Oh, right. That's interesting.
Who writes the script?
All of a sudden, Mark in student media wants to talk about the past because the past is slightly more interesting for Mark. All of a sudden,
I think.
So you had a good week, Mark.
Dr. Brown here in the lead, and then you guys are trailing fairly close behind. There's still a lot of games to pick, so it's. What am I saying? I'm routing you guys. Come on,
No, Adam and I are going to have to start tailoring some picks to gain some victory, which ultimately could bury us in the hole.
Yep, absolutely.
I got really lucky with some picks. I have to admit that Auburn pick. I picked LSU and Auburn. I even tweeted that I had no confidence whatsoever in that pick, and so I lucked out. It just fell my way.
Yeah, it was a strange week. Lots of teams going down. Yep. Pac-12 after dark was a letdown for those teams. And Mark, you won.
Well,
good
anyway,
for you.
Mark. All right, now you know I'll fall on my face today because I even bragged about it here. So
looking forward to it. I think next week we'll have to look at the past again.
Yeah, I know.
Well, let's start out with the present. We've got Oklahoma State at Texas here kicking off in just a little bit. This is a big game for Oklahoma State. What do you guys have?
I've got Oklahoma State. I think they're the better team. Tom Herman and the boys will be excited to be ready to play. It's at Texas. Oklahoma State, they have too much.
Yeah, I'm going with the Cowboys too, Oak State.
I'm taking a Herman upset. I'm taking an upset in Austin. I think that this is the time of the season that Oklahoma State kind of stubs their toe, which they always do. And so I'm going to take an upset here with the Longhorns. I don't know why. I just think it's time for the mullet to lose a little bit.
Yep.
Louisville at Florida State. Louisville, who got tanked again last week, right? They got beaten up last week by a lesser program.
Right.
I'm actually taking Florida State this week. I think at home they can beat a bad Louisville team, but I certainly could be wrong.
Yep.
What about y'all?
And Tommy took Florida State. I'm going with them too. I think they'll. I think Louisville's doing that midseason swoon, and I think Florida State's probably getting the program righted again a little bit.
I am actually going to, against my better judgment, I'm going to take Louisville. You guys know I'm not a big fan of Bobby Petrino, but really I've got to be fearless. I've got to get in the skybox and do what I feel is right at the time. And I think Lamar Jackson, Louisville, they beat a Florida State team, but ultimately these two teams are not what we expected at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And it's kind of disappointing that we aren't spending more time on this game. But I'm picking Louisville.
They crushed Florida State last year, and I think that's why Florida State's going to pull it together. They were embarrassed last year.
Right.
Cyclones at the Red Raiders. Iowa State at Texas Tech, one of those beautiful FS1 games. I've got to go Texas Tech at home. I don't think the Cyclones can upset another team this year.
Texas Tech. Surprisingly decent this year.
Not too bad. I'll stay here in my beloved ACC. Boston College with a big win last week at Virginia. Can they hold on to it 2 weeks in a row, Mark?
I'm going with the Cavs. Yeah. I'm going with Virginia. I think at home. I'm going because of home.
Yeah.
You know,
Andrew.
I'm going with BC.
Oh.
Bunch of guys being dudes.
Yeah.
Adazio and his bunch.
I love BC, and I've got a good family that are alums there. But I think I don't think BC can do it 2 weeks in a row, especially on the road. So I'm going to take the Cavs.
That's the hard part about that game for sure.
Somebody take us 2:30 here. Syracuse, Miami, another beautiful orange ACC matchup.
Right. This is kind of interesting. I mean, after Syracuse upset Clemson, it added a little intrigue.
Gosh,
but I think Miami, I think the nice guy wins again, and I think Miami continues unbeaten.
Yeah, I think the nice guy for sure.
I do too, although it was beautiful watching Clemson lose last week. That's what we should have talked about in the last segment.
Yeah.
You really despise
Clemson. I love them losing.
Yeah.
Hey, you love them losing.
Yeah, it's great.
This is one of the tougher picks, 2:30 game, Central Florida at Navy. Who you guys got?
I think Central Florida definitely going to win. I'm gonna agree with Tommy. He said earlier he wanted Navy to win, but Central Florida is the better team.
I'm going I'm going all night. You see that bit last week on ESPN with the rubber duckies that they cool.
Okay.
Google it. They do this kind of rubber ducky tradition that sounds weird, but it was very cool. But, yeah, I'm going UCF all the way here.
All right. Pac-12 game, Arizona State at Utah. The Utes hosting Arizona State.
Nothing I love more than Pac-12 in the mid-afternoon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm going Utes. I think the Utes beat the Sun Devils here at home on another beautiful FS1 production.
I agree. I'm going Utah as well. I think they're just the better team.
Yep.
I'm going Arizona State on this one, guys.
There we go.
All right.
Maybe I should change after how your picks have been going,
yeah,
Mark.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe I should dovetail off what you got going on.
I'm in kind of an Arizona state of mind this week.
You are.
Because, there's another Arizona game coming up.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Dr. Brown's Minnesota, the Golden Gophers, the Goldie Gopher hosting Illinois. Big game, I'm not sure who wrote on our big board Morse code, but it was pretty funny about when we put who's the network.
So I think that was George.
George did that himself. Okay.
This is the in my house. This is the battle of Joanne Starrett versus Bill Starrett. These are the alma maters of my parents.
Okay.
And so I'm going to go Minnesota because I think they're right now the better team. Which in the past Illinois probably had the better program for the last 20 or so years, but they're in bad shape now, so I'm going with Joanne Starrett over Bill.
There we go.
Joanne over Bill. They're going to be listening to this,
too.
They
are.
Yeah.
Mama and Papa Starrett. Right. Yeah, I'm going Minnesota for sure. I watched the Illinois WKU game earlier this year, and Illinois is not a good football team.
You were that guy who watched it?
I had to.
Well, I'm telling you right now, I know, and I may not be smart, but I'm not dumb enough to go against Joanne Starrett.
Yeah, it's true.
There you go.
I know she probably knows more football than I do.
She'll
so
be decked
I'm going
out.
Minnesota. There we go.
She'll be decked out in colors.
All right,
Kentucky at Mississippi State.
Who thought, before we go any further, who would have thought I am more excited about Kentucky at Mississippi State than I am about Auburn and Arkansas?
Your excitement level is always
it's all a little different.
Strange.
I assume that you guys would be just as excited.
But I'm amazed at your excitement on lower level echelon SEC.
I can't quit.
You spread the love very wide.
I can't
wide
quit the lower level SEC.
You totally got my respect.
Yeah,
on that.
Yeah. I won't be able to, but I'm going to watch. I want to watch a little bit of this game. Mississippi State is going to win for sure.
I think so, too. All cowbell.
All right, I'm going Kentucky, guys. Ooh. I'm going Kentucky.
Mark's feeling his win from last week.
I'm trying to lose the lead as much as I can.
He's out there on the ledge. He thinks the breeze is beautiful.
Just blowing us kisses from the edge of the tree.
I'm trying to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah, that's something.
All right, good enough.
We've got 3 p.m. Oklahoma at Kansas State. Sooners at the Wildcats. What do you think, Mark?
Sooners for me too, guys.
Yeah, I'm going Mayfield Jr.
Yeah, there
no
we go.
Doubt.
All right.
No doubt. A little Pac-12 action. Oregon at UCLA, staying with 3 p.m. It's on a Pac-12 network. Who y'all got?
I struggled with this one a little bit, but I'm going to end up going UCLA. But I don't feel very good about it.
Yeah, me too. I hate to be going for Rosen and that the interception king. But I'm going UCLA. I do think they'll win because they're home.
I think we all agree that this game is nobody feels comfortable picking this game. But I'm actually going to go with Oregon. Rosen throws too many picks, and I don't feel confident at all. But definitely Oregon. Right. 4 p.m. We have the North Texas Mean Green at Lane Kiffin and his bunch, FAU Owls.
Well, you know, Kiffin tweeted that obscure thing, return thing, kind of trolling Tennessee this week and all that. I don't know how he wins it, but I think he wins this game. I'm going FAU on this.
I agree. I'm going Kiffin over Denton, Texas.
I'm going to have to as well. Kiffin has been all over Twitter lately. So,
he's got some time on his hands. He apparently does.
Yeah.
Great. So, 6:15, little SEC West matchup that some people are excited about, but maybe not here in the studio. We have LSU at Ole Miss. Adam, talk to us.
I've gone back and forth on this. I don't believe in LSU for the long term. And so I think going into Oxford on Saturday night here could be a little bit of a trap, but it can't be a trap because this is kind of like mediocre versus bad. But I'm still going to take LSU to win on the road because Ole Miss is just bad.
Yeah, mediocre versus bad is a great way to
– I think that's all we got
here. I think that's a great way to explain it. I'm going LSU Tigers.
So am I. I'm going LSU and
for sure.
Coach O. I think they'll win this. Okay, Big Ten matchup here, a major, major game. We talked to Tommy about this a little bit. We got the Khaki Lord going into Happy Valley and undefeated Penn State. Who you guys got?
I love this game, by the way.
I do too.
A Penn State wideout on TV at night is absolutely, to me, one of the most effective kind of gimmicky crowd things in college football.
It was one of the first, really, as we talk about it, which is why it's great.
It's so awesome on TV, and I think it's intimidating to watch from my living room, much less play there. And I don't think Khaki can pull it together. I think he gets a second loss here and kind of wags his tail and goes home.
Yeah. I'm going to do a fearless speaker. I think Michigan's going to win.
That's fearless.
Number one, I've got to make up some ground. Number two, I think Harbaugh plays – I think he plays to the team, hey, no one thinks we can win. I think he does that really, really well. And he won those games. He upset those people at Stanford when they were playing USC. He's done it before.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think his guys really play hard for him. And I think that's how they win this game.
I think that's a good explanation of your pick.
All right. I'm not as fearless on this one. I'm going Nittany Lions. I think they continue their march towards the playoffs. They've got a couple of tough games left. They got Ohio State.
The worst of their schedule is left.
Right.
Yep. Right.
So they may not get out of this 3 or 4 game schedule unbeaten.
But if they do, they could be a clear cut number
Big
two.
Ten
and they're
heats
definitely
up.
In.
You got no Penn doubt. State. You got Wisconsin. You got Ohio State. You got some big games coming up. What about USC at Notre Dame? Such a traditional rivalry. Really a huge game most years. Last couple years it's been a little bit down, but with USC kind of coming back and winning some games, and Notre Dame really being under the radar so far.
Right, they are.
Losing, a close one to Georgia?
Yeah, a really good Georgia
team.
And
that's about it. And they're a real spoiler in this whole system because of our nonsensical rules about them.
You make a great point about them being under the radar. When has Notre Dame been under the radar before? Because they
are. It's normally the opposite.
Normally they get hyped up and then
no
they just
reason.
Lose. And
right.
they, you know, they, or they're overrated. Or they're. But this year, they've actually quietly got a pretty good football team.
If I were to guess, Brian Kelly would prefer to be where he is right now than anywhere he has been in the past 5 or 6 years.
Because he learned to close his mouth.
Right.
It's on Brian Kelly. For the first time
ever,
Brian Kelly has kept his mouth closed, and he hasn't put them on the radar, essentially.
Right.
So he's learned a lesson of some sort.
Absolutely. That being said, I think I'm picking the Trojans to
I'm taking
to
the
win.
Trojans too, Andrew.
Oh, wow.
I like it.
You guys, I'm going with the Irish. I'm going with the Fighting Irish. I think they win this thing at home. So.
I'm glad that we're split on
this.
This
is a good game.
It should
be
a good
game. Yeah, this would be
good. Yeah,
good.
For sure.
Auburn at Arkansas, 6:30.
I'm doing Auburn. I'm doing Gus Bus. I think Arkansas, Tommy said earlier he thought Arkansas was just pretty beat up, and I kind of agree with that. I think the Gus Bus is wobbling a little bit with the wheels, but I think they'll stay on, and I think it'll be a close game at Auburn.
I think going to Arkansas is a good place to go if your bus is a little wobbly, because I think they're just not very good this year. They're beat up, you're right. Their coach is on the way out, and this is done.
Absolutely. Tough environment for the Arkansas backup quarterback to be in last week, coming here to Tuscaloosa. Don't know if Austin Allen's going to play today yet, but definitely going to pick Auburn. Wouldn't matter.
No, it wouldn't matter. Wake Forest at Georgia Tech, another just great, great traditional ACC rivalry here of the Smarties.
If you say so.
I tried to build it up here. We got some viewership, some listeners here. Wake Forest at Georgia Tech. I think Tech's going to run all over them.
I won't be watching, but
there's like three better. There's at least four better
there's
options.
There's got to be,
five.
Yeah, I'll be watching USC Notre Dame at least, or a little Auburn Arkansas. Definitely a lot of Penn State. There are a lot of good games on the same time.
Yep.
So nobody's going to be watching this except the parents of the players on Wake Forest and Georgia Tech. But I'm going Georgia Tech.
I'm going Ramblin' Wreck as well.
Yep. And finally here, Arizona at California, another Pac-12 game. What about your love for all things Arizona right now, Mike?
I'm picking Arizona. I'm picking the Wildcats. I
think this is a tough pick.
It's a tough pick because Arizona's got this quarterback, that Tate, who is really – he didn't start the year, and Rich Rod's getting a lot of heat from fans for not starting. This guy's a Heisman-type quarterback, dual-threat quarterback, really very good, and I think he's going to have a big night. So I'm going to pick the upset. I think it's an upset.
Well, Mark,
Arizona, California.
Mark, you got my cage is a little rattled now.
Yeah,
Mark, I'm still going to stick with Cal at home, and that's really the only reason I've got Cal in this game.
I flipped a coin a few times and it landed on the edge, and so it didn't help me. And I think the Bears are going to win. I wanted to go Arizona, but I think the Bears are going to win.
All right, well, they certainly had a big game last week.
It's that hangover that I'm a little worried about that happened. But they destroyed Washington State. Washington State didn't play.
That was a dominant performance.
Well, there's our picks for all of these other games. We've got a few minutes here that we'll come back and talk about Bama, Tennessee, and give you some shocking picks there, of course. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back to talk about crimson and that other color that that they're going to be wearing. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, this is Will Gamble, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Crimson Tide fans everywhere, welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm sure we have a lot of Mark's friends from the Vols message board listening in this morning as well. And so,
yeah, they got the pitchforks and knives
exactly,
and torches
at Bama
out.
Mark. Welcome. Nothing that message board folks like more than college radio. Alabama's won 10 straight against the Vols, and I think we're all agreeing that it's going to be 11 straight by the time the game is over today. But I don't know if we have any keys to the game or any things that we should be worried about as we go into this huge matchup this afternoon, the third Saturday in October.
Yeah, I think it was interesting what Tommy talked about earlier. The series has been a game of streaks, and Alabama is obviously certainly on one right now. When Butch Jones was hired 4 years ago, Tennessee fans would have never thought that the streak would possibly get to 11 at this point, which is what the Florida streak against Tennessee had gotten to until they beat it last year. So it really is interesting that Alabama is in one of the most dominant streaks of the rivals' history, and obviously we can all agree that that continues tonight. But, you know, Alabama is another opportunity for them to really fine-tune what they need to work on, run the ball well, you know, play, you know, stop the run defense or play good run-stopping defense and really just fine-tune what they need to work on going into the last stretch of the season that really is going to determine how, you know, the SEC West shakes out and how the national, you know, landscape shakes out.
You know, we've talked about that you can throw out the record books in rivalry games, but I guess, for, you know, in terms of having to sort of predict how you think it's going to go, all you can go by is what the teams have done up to this point. Yep. And Tennessee has shown no – ability to get up off the mat in a against an elite team. They barely beat. They just hung on against UMass, and that's one of the worst football teams in the country. It's UMass is winless.
Right.
There's another. There's some small college that beat UMass like 58-0 or put up 58 points. I mean Tennessee. It is a rivalry. I do. They're not going to just come out and lay down. But judging by the performance of these two teams, they're completely in opposite directions. Butch Jones' seat is so hot, it's in flames. I mean, it is he is I would think the team just has no confidence whatsoever, and here they're facing probably the best football team in America.
And you can say all you want that the players don't read the – you know, players don't read it. We don't buy into that. It's out there. And, you know, the players have been tweeting, subtweeting random things. And that stuff does seep in the locker room as bad as they say, as bad as they don't want it to. And I think that has definitely not helped Tennessee's situation at all.
No, I think
this game.
I think the two of you have hit the nail on the head. I think that they're a mess of a program. And like you said, there's a difference between distrust of coach and locker room and players and team and just people not playing up to their expectations, and so that all drama mess is far harder to deal with. And I absolutely agree with Mark too that they cannot get off the mat, and so they're going to come out like gangbusters. They're going to play as hard as they can because they're getting up for Alabama. They're going to be excited, and I think that is something that all college athletes share, and it's easy to get up for a team like Alabama. What's really hard is to kind of get hit in the mouth and come back up.
Yeah.
And if it's the third quarter, if it's halftime and they're going in down by two or three scores, that third and fourth quarter is going to be ugly. And I think you're right. Coach isn't going to run up the score, but we're going to be running the ball and having a lot of 65-yard drives with punts to the other team, and it could be a slow, boring second half with Tennessee just not – having the morale and the just getting themselves up off the mat. I think you're right. I think it's going to be a beat down in the second half and kind of sad to watch.
I think one of the more the interesting things about the game, and I don't know if this is a bright spot for Tennessee, but this is something different. Tennessee is starting the redshirt freshman quarterback for the second game in a row, and he doesn't have the reps that obviously they would want him to have, but there's not a lot of film on him, so Alabama will probably be looking really closely at that. But other than that, on the field things to look at for Tennessee, there's not anything really exciting or that you could even point to say, hey, this Alabama team could struggle with them in this area. The Tennessee
across
has
the board.
The board.
Both sides of the ball.
Right. Tennessee just has not – they're just not a good football team at this point. It's really unfortunate for this rivalry that Butch Jones is a lame duck sitting coach at this time. And, you know, they've talked about do they fire him before this game, after this game, at the end of the season. You know, it's unfortunate for this rivalry and today that is a lot of the conversation around this game.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, that Tennessee is is not going to be that big of a test for Alabama. I mean, normally you would say they would be. Although we've talked about already, 2 years ago, we also thought that Bama was going to win that pretty big, and that came down to – that was a really tense ending, and Tennessee played a great football game that day.
They did.
But the difference is that this team this year is not even close to the performance of that Tennessee team that year. That Tennessee team that year was a pretty heavy underdog, but nothing like today at 35-point, 36-point underdog. And there's a reason they're that big of an underdog. They're just not a good football team right now. And I think, Bama is – and the other side of that, probably the more important side, is that Alabama is not going to play down to Tennessee.
Right. No.
They're going to come out there and roll. They're going to – this team just seems to not play down to competition. They're going to play well.
And Alabama gets up – they get up for this game no matter what, period. And they understand that, they want to be smoking cigars afterwards.
Yeah.
And that's fun and that's exciting. And, that is a small motivating factor.
Well, what score do you guys – what – Tommy picked something like 38 to 10. What do you guys
think? Did he really?
Yeah.
Which is a classic score.
I was just going to say 38 to 10.
It depends on how the second half goes. Like you said, it could be a slow, boring, methodical second half. But I think it's going to be 45 to 3, 45 to 6. Tennessee can't move the ball. They actually have 10 quarters in a row where they have not scored a touchdown.
Actually, correct, he picked 38 to 6.
38
to
6.
I thought you were a little off there.
Yeah, there we go.
Right, so – how many more quarters can Alabama make it where Tennessee hasn't scored a touchdown?
I think you may be closer because I don't know that they're going to score a touchdown. I think that's a good point. Tommy, 6 may be the right score. I'll stick with 38-10 just because.
Just because.
All right. Well,
because that's what you say every week.
Right?
I'm going – I just thought of USC last year, Bama. Yeah, I'm going 52-6.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
I'm going bigger, and I think – but to me, they'll get a pretty big lead into the third quarter, but then Bama's – the difference this year is Bama's second, third team come in, and they also score.
They're pretty darn good, right? So here's the real question. Butch gets fired after this week, between now and the end of the season, or after the season? 1, 2, or 3?
One.
One?
I go one.
I go one, too. He's done after this week, right?
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah. It is. It's tough for him. Well, he wasn't very good. So that'll do it for another edition of Skybox. Thanks to our special guest, Tommy Ford, the always, always, always great Tommy Ford. Also to Terry Siggers, also always great, who produces the show for us. Crimson Tide is taking the day off next Saturday, and so are we. Everybody enjoy your fall break, but we'll be back in the Skybox 2 weeks from today at 10 a.m. on November 4th for LSU week. So join us then. Be safe out there today. Enjoy the beautiful weather. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.